Psalm 61. I don't know about you, the Psalms have been just one of those books of the Bible. Of course, any book you're in reading at the time becomes your favorite book. You know, and you start finding them little nuggets of wisdom and you go, wow, this is my favorite book now. You know, God's really giving me stuff here. They're all good. Preacher I once heard say, the Psalms is the Christian on his knees. Something like that, and the Proverbs are the Christian on his feet. I mean, it's, you got to pray, and then you got to walk. And the Psalms have just, have been that for me. They're a help, and I don't know, I think I've preached maybe multiple times out of the Psalms here, and they're just a blessing to me. I love the Psalms. I got to say, I am, I'm always humbled, just absolutely humbled. I most of the time can't get over the fact that I get to teach a Sunday school class with most of the students, you know, if you can call them that, are older than me. I finally got someone in there that's younger than me, Michaela. You know, finally, I'm not the young one in there. And there's many days I sit back and say, Lord, how? Why me? And so to be able to get to preach as well, I mean, what a blessing. Who knew? And I know I say that every time, but I'm never going to get over it. Lord willing, I'll never get over it, and I don't think I ever should. It's humbling that God would take a life and transform it. And if I stay yielded to Him, and I'm careful and I'm cautious, He can continue to use it and do something with it. I'm thankful that our pastor's allowed me to be up here. Again, I know I say it every time. I should. Our pastor's done a lot of great things here because of what the Lord's done in his life. And the mission has to continue. Things got to keep going on. Men need to be trained. And we need preachers. We need missionaries. And I am just humbled that I get to be part and parcel to that. And again, everybody has a part in it. Have we not been learning that in 3 John? And of course, you can be a Diotrephes, but I'm not preaching on that tonight. I'm not preaching on 3 John continued either. I know some might have been looking for that, but I'm not going to preach on that, and I'm not going to preach on the conflict of a colon. I don't know if anybody was looking forward to that. I thought about it. I was tempted. I thought maybe we could go there, but I wanted to leave that one be, and hopefully I was in the Lord's will for where we're going to be at tonight. So Psalm 61, it's a good psalm. Let's go ahead and read. The Bible says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. It's a good place to start, isn't it? And we're going to see further on, he's not, you know, King David, he's not in a good place, but it's a good place to start whether you're in a good place or a bad place. Lord, hear my prayer. Here I am. Please listen to me. He's really expressing his need and his desire. Verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I don't really know the circumstances of this psalm. Many commentators have different views on it. He was, you know, some say he might have been king at this time, maybe not. Some say he was king, or Saul had maybe driven him away at this point, or maybe it was Absalom. I lean more towards the Absalom idea and all the things that took place there. But essentially, they say that David was driven away from Jerusalem and where he was supposed to be and as king. And so that's why he says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. I'll say this, spiritually speaking, I feel like he's saying, Lord, I have nowhere else to go. I have exhausted all my resources. As far as my own manpower goes, I don't know what to do. In fact, I'm to a point now where I'm overwhelmed. My heart is overwhelmed. I see no path in sight. And from the end of the earth, from this point where I'm at, I will cry unto thee. I think that's special. And then, of course, he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We're not going to get into it tonight, but that rock is Jesus. I personally think Jesus is mentioned twice here, and we'll get to that later. But like I said, we're not going to get there tonight. There is so much jam-packed in 8 verses. I think it was Brother Brent before services. We were kind of filling them in on the history here of Jake and I came when Pastor was in the Psalms on Wednesday nights. Most of us, if you were here, remember that. I think I came much later on in that, but Brent was surprised to hear that six and a half years that Pastor was in that, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but you said something along the lines of like, wow, how did it take 6 years, you know, to get through the Psalms when, you know, a lot of them are real short, but it's a well so deep. You can never draw all the truth from it. And so I say that to say this. Listen, I know there's a lot here. My goal tonight, I just want to give a few devotional thoughts. I'm not trying to exegete every little detail or thing in here. Please do me a favor. Don't come up to me after services and say, well, you could have said this and referenced that, and did you know this and that? I know. There's a lot here. There's a lot. I am going to just barely scratch the surface and hopefully just give a thought that'll be helpful to somebody. Verse 3, I'm getting really sidetracked already. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. He says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. If you try and put yourself where David is, he's in a place where he is just absolutely overwhelmed. And he's not sure what to do. But he cries unto God. And essentially when he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. He's saying, Lord, I am on unstable ground. In fact, I'm on ground where I actually, in my own strength, am unable to attain where I need to be. I don't have that ability. And thus I'm resorting to you, saying, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He's saying, for thou hast been a shelter for me. Lord, first of all, take me to a place of stability. Take me to a place of security. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a tower, a strong tower from the enemy. And then he says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. He's saying, Lord, I need you to take me from where I'm at now, take me to a place of stability, take me to a place of security, and take me to a place of sanctuary where I can be safe and protected. You ever get to a point in your life where you feel like that? Lord, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do from here. I don't know what the answer is. But I'm just calling upon you, and I need you to lead me. Verse 5, he says, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. I'm just thankful, as always, Lord, and extremely humbled that I get to stand up here tonight. All I can ask, Lord, is that you'd use me and just help me, Lord. Give me clarity of thought. Lord, dealing with your scriptures is no light matter. And I just pray that what is here on the page before us is something that someone needs to hear tonight. Lord, I know that there are many in our church that carry heavy burdens. Many different circumstances take place in our lives, Lord, and Father, we don't always know what to do with them, don't always know where to go. I just pray that you'd remind us tonight that we need you. We need your help. We can do nothing apart from you. We are powerless without you. And Father, we have to completely and totally rely upon you for everything. And I'm thankful that you made it that way, Lord, that we have nothing to boast in of ourselves, but we have to come to you for grace and mercy and for help. I just pray that you'd use your word tonight and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to not only help me, but to help those in this room. And pray that you'd get the glory from it and the honor. And Lord, that you'd please just help people. Thank you that we get to gather in a local church tonight when there's many people that don't have what we have, Lord. Help us to not take advantage of it, but to use it in the way that you desire us to. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When you read the Psalms that King David wrote, you will see that there are many commonalities. At least I do. And over time, I've read the Psalms I don't know how many times. I've just made it a habit. I like to read my Bible cover to cover. But in doing so, I usually begin with a psalm and a proverb. It's just what I do. And I like to start my morning with a psalm. It's almost like anybody in here has those, the Valley of Vision prayer books. You know, those aren't scripture, but the prayers in that book are helpful to just read sometimes. And so the Psalms are kind of like that for me. I like to begin my morning with that. And like I said, it just helps me get to a place before God. And it starts to break up the ground of my heart so that I can be prepared to read. And so I love the Psalms. And I have grown to appreciate those commonalities specifically from David. As you know, David wrote a lot of the Psalms. And man, I was reading this week, and I got to a place in my Bible where it said the Psalms of David are ended or something like that. And I literally sat there and almost cried because I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to be through those yet. They're just good, and they're a help to me. And I like that I am able to get that close to it. It's almost like watching a movie, and when the movie's over, you just start crying, you know, for some goofy reason. I don't know why we're like that. So anyways, I have grown to appreciate those commonalities more and more as time has gone on, because it is a token specifically of David's consistency and his devotion with God. If you were to sit down and write something every day and then look back at it a year later, would that display consistency in your walk? Or is it going to show you like this all the time? Now, don't get me wrong, we're going to have those. But there ought to be certain aspects of our lives, of our Christian walk, that has consistency to it. There should be some commonalities in our testimony. Reading after him, David that is, sometimes you get the impression that all he had was problems. Anybody else agree with me there? It just seems like the guy really had some struggles. And his prayers are many times a summary of going from problem to praise. Or, in the case here, praising God in the problems. You'd think that wouldn't be so for someone so close to God, yet any student of the Bible will soon realize that a close walk with God will inevitably lead to difficulty. I think many of us in here are familiar with that. There's one aspect of David's Psalms that always impresses me. There's usually a lot of remembrance, there's reflection, there's repentance, and though all those are important and needed, it is his resoluteness that I find to be so unexpected, if you will. I think we are geared sometimes to just assume that harsh circumstances will knock us down, and there is a natural struggle to get back to where we need to be, right? Or that the difficulty will no doubt defeat us. I mean, sometimes we think that way, or at least I do. It's almost like there's an expectation to fail. If anything, David's Psalms give a testimony of hope that absolutely does not have to be the case. Thus again, his resoluteness to stay by the stuff, consistently rely upon and resort to God in his struggles has definitely at least been a help to me. This psalm in particular, he says, "I will," 3 times. And then he says it another way, "Will I?" Basically the same thing. So that's a total of 4 times he is revealing that he's just resolved. I mean, and that's patterned through so many of the Psalms that he's written. He's just a man that was, he was determined to just keep on going. Someone so sure of what to do in difficult circumstances, I think, is someone we should pay very close attention to. Because when we get into difficult circumstances, the first thing we say is, "I don't know what to do. What do I do here? I'm confused. I haven't come across this before." And then mix in with that, maybe it's depression or despair or just, I don't know. You just don't know what to do sometimes. In the Christian life, there is no promise that circumstances will change, at least while we're here on this earth. Sometimes, in fact, they just grow worse. This world needs people that don't leave every time something gets hard. Can I just say that? Is that too harsh? The world, Christianity, and those that are lost need people that don't get up and leave every time something gets hard. I think, Dad, you shared, what's his name? What's that preacher you share on Facebook all the time? Adrian Rogers. He said when the bloom is on a church, everybody's wanting to come and get a part of that and be there for it. But then when hard times come, they scatter. Shouldn't be that way. Can I just say that? From a frail human point of view, yeah, I get it. I have that tendency as well. But scripturally, that's not how it goes. In fact, we have example after example after example of not leaving when things get hard. And please don't think that I'm standing here from some position of pride thinking I've got this thing nailed down. No, no, no. I need the help that's here just as much as anybody else. I'm just trying to point out a tendency that's there. And I'm trying my best to just say, this is truth. If David taught us anything, he taught us that he was a man after God's own heart. Yeah, he messed up. Yeah, he had his failures, but he kept coming back. And when things got tough, he got tougher with them. Not on his own. Don't forget that. Not on his own. He did it with God. It is uncertain, the exact circumstances of this psalm, as I said, but there is some things that we can deduce here. David is clearly in a place of desperation. Is he not? A place of distress. Distance. He says, from the end of the earth. Lord, I'm not where I want to be. And even we can get to a place in our lives where we feel like, God, you're just so far away. Or at least it feels that way. He's in a place of distress, desperation, distress, distance. And he's in a place of decision. And we see the decisions that he made. He said, I will. He's in a place of decision. And aren't we all in that place? See, when difficulties come and there's things that we have to deal with, there are decisions that we have to make. And oftentimes, that is when those decisions are hardest to make. That's why David begins with, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. He's saying, God, I'm going to need some assistance here. I need your attention right now more than just any other regular time. I need you to hear me. You ever been in a place like that? Not only is he in a place of desperation, distress, distance, decision, it's just all around difficulty. But please take note, the psalm ends in praise. And I believe David gives us a helpful guide with lessons we can learn from when we face similar circumstances. I want to preach on this thought tonight. Dedication during difficulty. Dedication during difficulty. I almost wanted to say lessons from a leader in need of being led, but that's not where I went. Dedication during difficulty. I want to specifically focus on four lessons tonight, each dealing with a different area of David's life during difficulty that are helpful for us to remember. And here's the deal. If David was able to stay dedicated during difficulty, then we can too. I can. And I'll be honest with you, there's many days over some of the dumbest things I just want to throw in the towel. So many times I fail God over something so silly. We'll use that word. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then you read a psalm and David's sitting here saying, Lord, I can't. I'm not going to make it. I'm overwhelmed. And yet, he makes it through. And so what is it about David? What is he doing? I mean, that's the question that I want to try and answer, or the scriptures are going to answer. What do you do when you're in that situation? Because right off the bat, you typically don't know the answer. If David was able to do it, than we are as well. Again, verse 1, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I like how he words it. Because whether you're in that moment where you are overwhelmed, or whether maybe that moment hasn't come yet, you can still be resolved to say, when? Lord, when I'm overwhelmed, I'm deciding right now that you are the one that's going to be my focus. You're the one that's going to be my attention. I hate to look around, and again, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm just as guilty or susceptible to it as anybody else in here is. But I hate to look around, and when somebody reaches a point in their life, when their circumstances are just, you sit there and watch it and go, oh my goodness, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't even have the answer for that. Only God can help you with that. And what do? So many times, they turn away and leave the church. I'll say this. It seems like you find that those that won't get on board, if the local church is a ship, those that won't get on board, and they seem to find more time to just buck things than they do believing things, if they don't get on board, then eventually they're going to go overboard. And when they do, it leaves everybody else in the church saying, hey, we got to help that guy. He's in the water. Wait, what do you mean he didn't fall? He jumped? Well, no, we got to help him. Oh, wait a minute. He's swimming away. That don't make sense. Safety's here. The boat's here. The ship's here. This is where God is. You're going through something hard right now. Why are you swimming away? It doesn't make sense. It seems like hard times, difficult times, when somebody gets overwhelmed, the first reaction is, yeah, I'm just not getting any help there. I'm either going to go somewhere else, or I'm just going to stop going. They jump out of the boat. Nobody pushed them out. It wasn't man overboard. They jump out, and they swim away. Why does it have to be that way? Can I just say it's discouraging for me? Because all you want to do is help people. You sit there and say, listen, I don't have all the help in the world, but the Bible does. I know a guy that can help. I know the answer. David didn't do that. David knew something that a lot of us would do very well to remember, and myself as well. It's dedication. Dedication during the difficult times. And so, like I said, there are some lessons here that we can learn from. And if David was able to stay dedicated during difficulty, then we can as well. David was able to stay dedicated during difficulty, number one, because of the position of his cry. Can I just say the secret, if you will, to this psalm, and probably to many psalms, begins far before they were even written. It begins before David actually begins his prayer. Now, I'm not trying to preach something that ain't there. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm just saying he begins with, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. He reached such a point of absolute desperation. And again, if you've been in a moment like that in your life, you know the thoughts going on in your mind or the lack thereof. Maybe you can't think clearly. And yet in a moment of absolute desperation, David had enough knowledge of God about him to say, I know where to go. I know who I'm going to resort to in this moment. So it begins before it's even penned. He says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. The position of his cry is just so vital here. Now, I want us to notice something. The word cry in verse 1, he says, hear my cry. That means properly a creaking. I thought that was interesting. I don't know if I've ever gotten to a place where I creaked when I cried, but it says properly a creaking or shrill sound. That is, it's a shout. So, I mean, David's in a place. He's saying, hear my cry. And it's not just me, you know, sitting at home silently weeping. No, I'm shouting. I'm crying. I'm in a place. I need help. And I need you to hear that. The word cry in verse 2 means to call out. So it's different. It means to call out. That is, properly address by name, but using a wide variety of applications. So we see he's saying, hear my cry. But then he says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Like I said, David was just a man of resoluteness. He had already predetermined that if this happens in my life, or it's happening right now, I'm going to call out to God. See, I think the mistake we make oftentimes is, and like I said, there's times I'll fail and do something stupid over just something small and silly. But can I just say, it's those moments where we can practice turning to God, where we can position our cry towards Him. The pattern of a believer should not be turning to everything else when something comes. And we do it on both ends of the spectrum. Whether it's difficulty, we turn away from God. Or whether it's great joy and prosperity, what do? Turn away from God. That shouldn't be the case. Our position of our cry should always be to God. He was already positioned to look to God. And he was as well positioned to be led by God. Can I just say, David, one of the greatest examples that man sets for us is he was willing. He was just yielded. And can I say, if you're not willing and you're not yielded to actually get help, then that might explain the reason why you're not actually getting help. The place to go to when help is needed is the house of God. What was Naomi's husband's name? You remember his name? I can't remember his name. But what'd they do? They leave what? The house of bread. That's where the help is. And what you do is you leave, and to go off of the illustration of the person willingly jumping out of the ship and swimming away, eventually they're going to drown. That's the end of it. And so your position to God has to also be to be led by Him. And that's why David was able to cry out and say, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And we know who that rock is. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 13, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So at any point in time, we have the ability within ourselves to at least cry unto Him and say, all right, I need you. We see the position of his cry. He was positioned to look to God, and he was positioned to be led of God. That willingness, the yieldedness, is so important. You might not have all the answers. You might not know what to do. And that's kind of the point. See, your circumstances might not always change, but let me tell you what will. You. If you turn to Him and just say, all right, I'm in your hands. You never know when God puts something in your life for the exact reason of changing you. And so when difficulties come, don't run from them. Embrace them. What is it? James says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. But can I just say, I feel like the situation David's in, it's circumstances he didn't have control over. Or maybe if it was a situation with Absalom and it had to do with some failures he had early on in his life, sometimes the things we deal with are things that we have no control over. It's decisions somebody else is making. And because we live in a fallen society and people sin, we have to deal with the repercussions and the casualties of someone else's mistakes. Sometimes those kinds of things happen. And what better time to turn to the one who holds tomorrow? What better time to say, all right, Lord, I want to worry because I don't know what the future looks like. I want to do that. And there's part of me that wants to turn, but I know I have to be dedicated, and I know I have to stay with you in this difficulty. So we not only see that David was able to stay dedicated during difficulty because of the position of his cry, I want us to as well notice that David was able to stay dedicated during difficulty because of the placement of his confidence. Now this is important. Verse 3-4. I don't even know why I say that. It's all important. Every verse in here is important. So if I just keep repeating that, just know it's all important. Verses 3-4, he says, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." You know why David was able to have a moment when he was overwhelmed, when his heart was overshadowed by darkness, when he was in a moment of unclarity, if that's even a word. The reason he was able to say, "For thou hast been a shelter for me," was because he decided, now listen to this, those of you in here who are younger. When David was a young man, even just a boy, what was he known for? Being close to God at a young age. And all those different trials and all the different things that God brought him through was why he could say, "Lord, I know I'm struggling now. I know it's a difficulty now. But thou hast been a shelter for me." In other terms, this ain't my first rodeo. And it's certainly not the Lord's first rodeo. I want us specifically to see the placement of his confidence. He says, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." See, David was in a place where, like I said, his heart is overwhelmed. It's overshadowed by the difficulties and the circumstances that he's facing. But it's in that moment where he says, "I know a place where I can go and be overshadowed by the wings of the God of the universe, who knows exactly where I'm at and knows exactly what I'm going through." The fact of the matter is, in moments like this, we have to know that our confidence will fail if it gets placed anywhere else besides Christ. That's where our confidence has to be, and that's where it has to stay. And if there hasn't been a moment in your life where you're able to say, "For thou hast been a shelter for me," then now would be a wonderful time to start, especially for those of you who are young. Get in your Bibles. Get acquainted with God. Search for Him and serve Him while you're young. And then when you reach the difficulties when you're older, you still will have the struggles, but you'll know how to position your cry and you'll know where to place your confidence. And yet again, we see his determination, his dedication. He says, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever." There was a commentator that said there's a forever here, meaning forever while we're here on this earth. He says, "I'm going to abide in thy tabernacle," but then there's the forever in heaven. The tabernacle is a figure of heaven. But how many Christians have made no determination or dedication to remain in his tabernacle forever here? And they always say, "Well, there's going to come a day where I'm going to be with them forever there." If that's your desire for then, how is that not your desire now? And listen, I know who I'm preaching to tonight. I understand that. It's just a reminder for us all. And it's sad when the ones you want to hear something like that, the ones you want to help the most, aren't here. And they need that help. We see the placement of his confidence. His confidence was in the remembrance of his past. He knew and remembered all the times that God had already come through for him. The placement of his confidence was as well in the refuge of the present. Because of all the things that he had already been through in the past, he knew where he needed to turn to now and he knew where he would find safety. Again, he's saying, Lord, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Take me to stable ground. Take me to a place of security. Take me to a place of sanctuary. Lastly, this. David was able to stay dedicated during difficulty, not only because of the position of his cry and the placement of his confidence. And I'll just ask this for reflection. How often are you crying to him? Are you doing it in the little things as well as the big things? And when those things come, where do you turn to? Do you find yourself running away? How dedicated are you to being in a position that's always right before him? Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When we don't know what to do, when we don't know where to go, that's the last thing we should be doing is turning and running. We should be turning to the one that gives us direction. David was able to stay dedicated during difficulty, lastly, because of the... I forgot my own notes. There's another point after this. So let's get through this one, and then we'll get to the last. The procurement of his comfort. See, David knew where he needed to go to get comfort. Read this quickly here. He says, verse 5, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. That's just another way of saying, Lord, I've made promises unto you. I've dedicated myself to you to serve you. And you've heard my vows. He says, thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. David's either talking about himself in the third person, which makes sense because he's writing a psalm. Other people are going to sing this. And so when they sing it, it makes sense in reference to the king at the time, which was him. But I also think it's a reference to Christ, because all those things that he said is not only true for him, but they're true for Christ as well. And so quickly, the procurement of his comfort, David found comfort in four things. God's promising. He says, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. David took the time to reflect upon all the things that God promised him, and he knew his dedication to him already and what God was going to do for him. Do we not have a book filled with promises for us? Do we not have so many things that God has said, you follow the principle and the precept, then you'll get the promise? And that's something that we can find comfort in. He not only found comfort in God's promising, he found comfort in God's prolonging. Does anybody not want to live a little bit longer while we're here? Yes, we want to move on to glory. We want to go to heaven, but there is a natural desire for everybody to want to be prolonged, to want to live and have that life more abundantly. And David reflected upon that. I know I'm moving quickly, but third one here, the procurement of his comfort. He found comfort in God's preparing. He said, thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth. Why do we need mercy and truth? Mercy is God withholding what we deserve. That's why every day you ought to wake up and say, his mercies are new every morning, and his compassions fail not. I could have my back broken hell right now, and yet here I am. So many things God withholds from me that I deserve, yet he doesn't. That's his mercy. And then that's paired with what? His truth. Now that God's given me mercy for all the areas that I failed, now I have truth for knowing how to continue. All the things that now I need to do, I have truth that guides me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. All those things are important. He prepares for us mercy and truth. Is that a comfort for you? Do you spend time in that day after day? He found comfort in God's promising and God's prolonging and God's preparing of mercy and truth. And he as well found comfort in God's preserving. He says, oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may what? Preserve him. David was able to stay dedicated during difficulty. Lastly, this, we're here because of the performance of his commitment. Now, this, I think, is a great place to end and a good summary for the whole psalm and where really all of this comes to a head. David says, "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." David was a man that was dedicated in his difficulties. And he was able to say, listen, even though I'm in a place where I'm overwhelmed and I'm not sure what to do and I need God's help, I'm going to stay dedicated to the decisions that I made in the light. I might be in darkness right now, but I'm not going to forsake the good things that I chose to do for God that I've promised him that I will do. I'm not going to forsake those things. I'm going to stay dedicated. And can I just say, if you are somebody who's faithful to the house of God, to the word of God, to your walk with God, can you raise your hand? Has God helped you? Nobody's going to raise their hand? Listen, this ain't like last time at the Joel Osteen moment where y'all didn't participate. Has God helped anybody in here? Because of faithfulness. Because of being dedicated. And I'm sure there's some in here that can testify and say, I wasn't dedicated. I wasn't faithful. And guess what I didn't get? Help. We see that he had a commitment to what? Praise God. Sometimes praising God is the one thing that can really just help you get through your problems. Because it takes your mind off of your problems and puts them on the God who's in control of all your problems. And he had a commitment as well to his promise to God. The question for everybody tonight, how's your dedication in difficulty? And can I just say this, and the reason for this message, I know there's people in our church right now that are carrying heavy burdens. I know they are. And it burdens me to think and to watch. And the last thing I want to see is somebody forsake where help is. There's not that willingness. There's not that yieldedness to say, you know what? Yeah, I've made a decision and it might not be the right decision, but you know what? I'm in a place in my life where I want to get help and I'm going to. Can you sit down and talk with me? Can you help me? Can you counsel me? I just hate to see people not take advantage of that. And I don't want that to be the case for anybody in our church. Because God's been good, and he's there, and he helps. So what's your position? How's your position of your cry? Is it before God? Where's your confidence? Where are you getting your comfort from? And how's your performance to your commitment that you've made? And we live in a day and age where many people don't make commitments to God anymore. I hope that's not us. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for giving us this time in your word. Thank you for David, the examples that he set. Thank you for the help we can find here in the local church. Thank you for the hope you give us, Lord. Thank you for your hand on our lives and just all the things you do for us, Lord. Help us to look to you. Not just tonight, but tomorrow morning, the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, Lord, until we meet again. Help us to get strengthened yet again. Help us to be equipped and encouraged and edified and exhorted, Lord. And Father, as your word says, I pray that when we fail and when we get off track, we would remember, but he giveth more grace. Give us that grace, Lord. Help us to humble ourselves, to come to you needy, wanting, lacking. Give us wisdom in the trials we face. And Father, for those that are currently in need, Father, would you please impress upon their hearts to get help, to not turn away, to not swim away from the ship, Lord. I don't want to see anybody jump off. Please help us, Father. Help those of us that are currently in a good standing, in a place of strength, Lord, because of what you've done for our lives. At any moment, we could get to a point where, as David, was overwhelmed. And I pray that it would be our prayer during that time that you would lead us to a rock higher than I. Let Christ be everything to us, all that we need, all that we have. Please help us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all